Don't be alarmed. The quasi-shimmering light before you is a trans-dimensional gateway to other worlds, other voices, other thoughts, and other realities. Up feels like down, and down feels like the number 7 on a Wednesday morning. Don't worry. That quivering, blood-boiling sensation under your eyebrows is all a part of the charm. Welcome to the PCC Multiverse.
And we're back with the State of Pro Wrestling right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos. It's Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for joining us. Please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to go ahead and help us out on the Pop Culture Cosmos and also the PBD cast. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, ding, ding, ding. It is time to get back into the ring for WrestleMania. It is that time of the year. The biggest extravaganza, the biggest event of the year for professional wrestling is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And here to go ahead and help me out as far as always previewing WrestleMania. Good man indeed. He is my tag team partner until I, of course, backstab him in an angle upcoming, maybe down the road, so we can set up a main event and a feud. And then that will lead into another feud with another, you know, faction and individuals, which will have to go ahead and get us back up together as far as a dramatic moment after a, you know, our own period of time feuding. And then we'll go ahead and once again regain the championship belts. My tag team partner indeed, it is John Orlando. John, did you like the way I just that storyline? It's
that built there. That was good. I'm hoping that our blow-off match is a hog pen match. I hope that would be our blow-off match.
Well, during the hog pen match, somebody would come in, just go ahead and do either the schmoz or be able to go ahead and interject themselves with an international object and be able to, undermine our feud. And in essence, we'll have to force us to come back together begrudgingly as teammates, like DIY did. Yeah, now DIY is back once again. So
okay, there you go. But thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Gerald. It's always great to come on the Pop Culture Cosmos and talk pro wrestling. And I'm very excited for WrestleMania. And I don't know if I have said that in the last couple of years, but I'm very excited for this year's show.
I think you and I were tepid for the past couple of years for WrestleMania when you've done that. But this year, obviously, with The Rock coming in there, providing his name power, Cody Rhodes, you know, the lot of momentum behind him with the fan base, actually dictating what the main events for night one and night two would be. Obviously, what originally swayed from, it's so funny because WWE clearly had a plan for Cody Rhodes for this weekend. Then The Rock came in and, you know, made himself available for that period of time and indicated what he wanted to do for that WrestleMania. The fans clearly didn't like said plans for The Rock. So on the fly, and I'll give Triple H credit for it because it was kind of tenuous exactly if they were going to be able to pull it off, because it was a little, you know, hazy at first, but they were able to go ahead and pull off something that was believable, was enjoyable, was able to go ahead and feuding partners or feuding individuals partnering up in Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, who once were rivals, now seem to be friends and tag team partners this weekend against Roman Reigns and also as well The Rock. And then that leads into a Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes on Sunday night. So before we get in the card, my friend, I want to ask you this. Something's been bothering me, and I'll tell you what it is. You know how for years I was lobbying for the rest, the WWE to go to a two-night format. I just thought with the 17-hour, and I'm joking when I say this, but just barely, 17-hour, you know, one-night WrestleMania extravaganzas, it just was too exhausting. I did see the memes of the skeleton sitting in the easy chair, you know, wasting away because they sat through WrestleMania. Well, they did that. They did the smart move, made it a two-night event, but you have the NXT now as a growing entity that you want to go ahead and continue to blossom. But the problem is you threw it on the same afternoon as WrestleMania night one. You threw it on Saturday night one for their big event of the year, Stand and Deliver. I think that was absolutely moronic And I'm going to say that out loud. I think, and also they all bundling SmackDown with the Hall of Fame, I think it's also, a little bit of a blunder. Give each of these events its own night on WrestleMania week. Here we go. Want to see my idea? Monday, Raw. Tuesday, NXT. Wednesday, Hall of Fame. Thursday, NXT Stand and Deliver. Friday, SmackDown, leading into your WrestleMania weekend. Seems like it's a no-brainer, my friend, just like a two-night WrestleMania was. Your thoughts on my common sense reasoning for how to schedule properly WrestleMania week?
Well, I think...
In my opinion, of course.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think, though, they have some of these other events going on. Like they have the
Fan Fest and the panel.
They have the Fan Fest and that.
But that's the afternoon are for.
But I think you could do that on Tuesday. I think I would go definitely everything you said. I would stick to except for two NXTs on the same week. I probably would not do that.
So you wouldn't do a main show, just a one-hour show, NXT, that they have already, or two-hour show, whatever, and then just do the pay-per-view on Thursday.
I would just do the pay-per-view on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I would leave Tuesday open for something else, for, hey, one of these talk shows. Like, put the bump on prime time. There you go. Mm-hmm. You could do that on a Tuesday, a WrestleMania bump. Combine that with a Pat McAfee show.
From a Fan Fest, as far as doing it from a live. Yeah, to get that. Yeah, that's fine. That's actually a very, very good idea. I think it's just doing it. It's like the old habits die hard with the WWE and putting on 7 hours of wrestling, conceivably, again, just seems moronic. It seems like you're just wanting to go back to what you did instead of getting away from it and making it better. You're burning out these audiences. That's the problem. If I'm WWE with all the other wrestling that takes place in the Philadelphia area, I don't care. I'm doing my own stuff. So go ahead and make your statement that WrestleMania week is about the WWE and it just take up that whole entire week. That would be my deal. That would be what I choose. And I think it'd be best for the audience. But that's just me.
Well, and I think hopefully with this WrestleMania XL, one of the things that I've griped about in the past is a lot of video recaps, a lot of ads for the WWE products. I hope they cut those down a little bit, and that would shorten up that time a little bit as well for those matches.
Good luck.
I know that's not going to happen. I know that. You know that. I know that. But yeah, I just, I feel like those could be. You look at, I remember when I checked out Wrestle Kingdom 12, I believe it was, and I was amazed that the card was like 15 matches, but they move along. There's not with the exception of a couple of spots, there's not the constant badgering of the check this out, this just happened, buy this, Snickers satisfies, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, I know. You're absolutely right. It's making money and they're not going to stop doing it.
Yes. But I can't say I disagree with you, John, but the realities of 2024 hit in place as far as the amount of money that they make and maximizing of that weekend. I just think if you want to maximize that weekend, you take up every single day of WrestleMania week and you leave it for no one else. Wednesday, I would just go ahead and just throw something out there. I wouldn't care about AEW. Just throw something out there, Hall of Fame, something out there. Hall of Fame should be in its own venue. It doesn't have to be in a 15,000-seat arena. Put it in a 5,000-seat arena. You could sell it because you could advertise the greats are going to be there, and you could sell it out as far as a 5,000 to 7,000-seat arena and get more money from that.
And they used to do it that way. It used to be its own presentation at a theater. Mm-hmm. And people dressed up, and I mean, they still dress up and everything, but it looks so much better and much classier when it was done that way we forgot. Are they doing the Slammy Awards too?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's another thing you could just throw on Tuesday and have, bring back the Slammy Awards and have that every Tuesday.
Again, it's very puzzling. But again, I would just, if I was WWE, I would just confiscate that entire week and wouldn't care less about anything else. But that's again, you and I just putting our heads together and seeing what mixes. But once again, it is the State of Pro Wrestling. It is our WrestleMania 40 preview, and I want to go ahead and get into it, my friend, because I still want to talk some controversial comments before we head on out. Okay. I don't know if we're going to get to it from Ronda Rousey, CM Punk. We'll go ahead and see if we can, but let's go ahead and write into it, my friend. Night one. Let's start off with WrestleMania Night 1 on Saturday. Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee versus Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar. I understand it's to get as many wrestlers on as possible. The LWO, that as far as been a mid-card feud, that's been, you know, somewhat mildly interesting. But I don't like the fact that Dominic Mysterio, you know, I understand he's still trying to get after his father and whatnot. That's great. But he's one of the best parts of Judgment Day. And without him being predominantly in the mix with Judgment Day, it kind of takes away from Judgment Day, or is it just me?
I said the same thing when I saw this match advertised. One, I said to myself, aren't we done with Rey versus Dom? I mean, I thought we were finished.
Apparently not.
And then secondly, why would Dirty Dom hang out with Santos? I mean, they just seem like totally opposite characters. And why is Dominic being farmed out, so to speak, to... I forget the name. What's the name of Santos's group? I can't
it's
remember.
Not the LWO. Well, but it's basically an LWO feud.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you can't remember it and I can't remember it, that must not be that special. So
so I don't know about this match. I think it's going to be a great match. And I assume that they're going to throw it out there either right at the beginning of the event or maybe in the middle of the event to kind of bring people back up, because it's going to be lightning fast. It's going to be awesome in terms of moves and the speed of the match and everything. But again, I think we've had so many great matches built very, very well over the last several weeks, if not months. But this one just seems like it was thrown together.
Next match, speaking about a match that was thrown together, Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair and Naomi versus Asuka, Kairi Sane and Dakota Kai. And I know we talked about a little bit before we went on the air. And again, I don't want to correlate those thoughts on this program because again, that leads to a whole different discussion. I just think at this point in time, you have got to make sure Jade Cargill looks good. Mm-hmm. You know, hear me out. I think that you've got, that's the first and foremost thing. That's priority number one in this match. Priority number two in this match is to make sure that you have an effective thing going forward for damage control. Damage control since the Bayley breakup has not been the same. Dakota Kai, she is just not good enough on the mic to get them over. And you've seen it in lack of crowd response. I think absolutely at this point in time, they should, part ways with Dakota Kai and just do Io Sky, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. Just go with themselves. Just do themselves in Japanese. They were, you know, at times they've tried to stick a English speaking manager or leader in front of them outside of Bayley. It's really not worked. Just have those ladies just do it themselves, and I think you'd be a lot better off. But this case, again, whether or not the damage control wins or loses, just keep them, you know, as probably best you can as far as that's concerned. I know that damage control is lined up to probably not have a great weekend, but we'll talk about that part of it a little bit later on. But your thoughts on this match? I still would like to see Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair team up, would be my deal. If I was running it, team up, have them go after the belts, get the belts, have a nice long run, and then do a breakup situation between Cargill and Bianca leading to a match at WrestleMania next year. Your thoughts on the six-woman tag team match?
I agree with you tenfold when it comes to Jade Cargill. She has a lot riding on this match. You want to make sure she looks good. You want to make sure that she's presented as a main eventer like they have done in the past. I feel like this is probably a easy prediction to say that Bianca and Naomi and Jade win, because I think you have to keep that steam. You have to keep the steam up. You have to keep the pedal to the metal when it comes to Jade Cargill.
I agree.
I would not be too surprised if we see Jade Cargill come SummerSlam time facing off against Rhea Ripley.
Okay. But I still think Cargill and Belair personally would be great for WrestleMania next year. But I will say, though, what are your predictions on the LWO match? I wanted to go ahead and get that. I'm going to probably say Dirty Dominic will get his win back this year.
I agree with you 100% on that as well. Yeah, I think Dominic's going to get his victory again. And hopefully maybe this will be the last time we see Ray and Dominic. Who knows?
Who knows? I do agree with you on the Jade Cargill team up winning on Saturday.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos.
For the latest news and information, analysis and opinions on the Los Angeles Lakers and the NBA, check out the Lakers Fast Break podcast today on wherever you get your podcasts. The undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship six-pack ladder match. Finn Balor and Damian Priest, a.k.a. Judgment Day, defend against DIY, Johnny Gargano, and Tommaso Ciampa, The Miz and R-Truth, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. My thoughts, I'm going for the upset, my friend. Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, a.k.a. DIY, they're... the team that feuded, they worked well, they feuded, they came back together now that they're in the WWE, and I think they will find success again. Your thoughts, my friend? This is a matchup that inspires no one, because all these teams, including the Judgment Day, are not exactly well or highly revered, but I still think DIY will get the job done.
Man, it's like we... like we looked at each other's notes, or we have telepathic abilities. I said, like, they've been really focusing on Gargano and Ciampa, DIY on Raw.
Plus, he just did the job on Monday.
Yes, yes. And I was just always gonna say,
that's always a through line on that.
I was just going to say the winning percentage of DIY maybe hasn't been strong, but they've been showcased a lot on Raw, and I could see them. I mean, Gargano probably and Ciampa, they both will do some wild stuff in this match. But I see them walking out with the tag team titles.
And again, Ciampa did the favors on Monday, which a lot of times telegraphs what may happen on WrestleMania weekend. Next up is Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. I know that this was a great match in the past. I would have personally liked to have seen this be a cage match or some stipulation match to make it more exciting, but it's not. Your thoughts on the Uso battle of the Usos? I'm going to say the Bloodline gets the victory in this one.
I am very bored with this match. In fact, it's the match that I'm least looking forward to because it's been done before.
Yeah,
I agree with you. It needs something to spice it up. I personally feel this is my wild booking idea, is I would have those two. Hopefully I would slate them that they're maybe third from the main event or second from the main event. Have those two, Jimmy and Jay, fight in the back, fight to the back. No contest.
Falls count anywhere.
Well, and then my thing was that they come back in two matches when it's the main event, and
we've seen that before. You started at one point, and the brawl continues, then it goes off screen for half hour or whatnot, and you find out a half hour later they've been supposedly fighting for all that time, and they're in another part of the stadium.
Right, and then that distracts the Bloodline, that distracts Roman and Rock, and that would lead to a victory from Cody and Seth. I mean, I think it's a solid idea myself. It's great booking, but that would make that be
a pat yourself on the back there, John Orlando, for the great booking. There you go.
I'm like Barry Horowitz.
There you go.
His gimmick.
But he's still around. It's 2024. Did you think he was still be around in 2024? But I will put a little bit on that as far as your booking here, here as contesting. But who do you think is going to win the matchup?
I'll go with Jey Uso.
Okay.
I just pick him because I think he's got a better fan reaction recently with the yeet and all that jazz. So I'll go with him.
What is yeet anyways?
I don't know. I don't know. He's
part targeting it. Now he's got a clothing line with yeet on it. Yeah. And all that stuff. That's great. But
I mean, I could look it up on Urban Dictionary, but I'm just too lazy.
Yeah. Next up is the WWE Intercontinental Champion Gunther defends against Sami Zayn. Man, a year. We've talked about this before. So much can transpire as far as the booking of a character year over year. A year ago, Sami Zayn was one of the hottest individuals on the planet, and the booking has really killed him off since. If you want to really take it off Gunther now, because you have bigger plans for Gunther, I guess, but I'm still going with Gunther. Sami Zayn should have won the world title last year against Roman Reigns, and he had a short title run, you know, but again, that's a thing we talked about way long ago. You've already lessened his character quite a bit. Now he's just a mid carder at this point. I'm going with Gunther as the favorite. Who do you got in that matchup?
I have Gunther as well, because this is one of maybe the few matches I mentioned that haven't really been built real well. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's be honest. We all know who it was supposed to be against Gunther. We know that, but due to the scandal, that was not going to be an option. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they randomly just picked a name out of the hat. Oh, let's throw Sami Zayn out there. I don't see Sami Zayn winning the Intercontinental Championship, especially against Gunther. But the question is, now they have to really start to build somebody for Gunther.
That's the thing, but that you're right. Who would it be? I would have liked Ricochet, because Ricochet does have a little bit behind him again. There's stop, start, start, stop with him. Seems to be started again, you know, as far as the response to him. I think Gunther needs to drop the title at some point soon, because he needs to be set up as the first real big bad guy that you throw at Cody Rhodes should become champion. Spoilers on who I might think might win. But need I digress on that? But that's just my opinion on that. But otherwise, Gunther at this point in time, if that's the case, you don't have if he loses, it's because they have bigger plans for him right away. If he wins, it's because that they don't have bigger plans for him yet established. So I think I'm going to say Gunther will win against Sami Zayn. Rhea Ripley is defending her WWE Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch. The man, the author of her latest book, as far as her autobiography, which has just come out, and she's all over the press on it. Your thoughts on Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch? Again, two top ladies going at it. Both have a lot behind them. I'm still going to go with Rhea Ripley unless I see otherwise, because right now the company is really behind her, really behind both of these ladies. It's going to be a tough call which one does the job or which one does the favors at this point in time, but I'm going to say Rhea Ripley until I see otherwise.
Well, I kind of tipped my hand a little bit earlier. I think Rhea Ripley holds on to the title. I think that this matchup has been very well put together. You know, I liked the stuff that they did outside the ring, like on Monday. They had the pull apart brawl. That was interesting.
Okay, if you're going to have a pull apart brawl from somewhere, make sure not a production assistant and some other person are just holding. Yep, okay. You need like four average size human beings to hold a wrestler back from another wrestler. Okay. I'm just going to say that as far as when she did, you know, when Rhea Ripley did an interview and Becky Lynch interrupted and they were supposedly having a brawl on an interview show the other day. I mean, come on, you got to have more people than just more when you're holding off those feuds, but that's just me. That, you know, those fights have got to look better. A lot better.
So I was going to circle back to, I think that in the summer, when we get to SummerSlam, we're going to see Rhea Ripley versus Jade Cargill. For the first go round, I don't know if there's going to be multiple matches out of that, but I really feel that that's the direction they're going to head after Mania. But so I'm picking Rhea Ripley. Again, kudos though for kind of building this up to being a match that I'm interested in seeing. So
we'll see what happens, my friend. But we both pick Rhea Ripley on that one. And last but not least, night one ends with The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. if The Rock and Roman Reigns win, Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns will be a Bloodline Rules match on Sunday. If they don't, then I guess it's not. I wish they would have done something, you know what I mean? Like a, you know, what's the famous match for Dusty Rhodes? A bull rope match.
Bull rope match.
Yeah. Yeah. Would have been a great if they would have, you know, something to tie in the Rhodes family thing a little bit more for Bloodline versus a strap match or something like that. It just something that would have tied that in even more. And again, they've really done better in the weeks following the initial start to break up and the change taking place. They had to change on the fly. I think that the Bloodline in this case is going to win so that you will get multiple people interrupting the match on Sunday, including The Rock, because it gives The Rock a excuse to interrupt on Sunday. Your thoughts, my friend, on who wins the main event for night one?
Well, I think, again, with my wonderful booking idea that I had for the Usos, I think that Cody and Seth win, because I thought that if they won,
this is where we finally
yeah, we're gonna disagree, but I thought that if Cody and Seth won, then the Bloodline was banished.
Yeah, if there's no blood, yeah.
Okay,
no
okay. Bloodline,
so it's supposed to be a one-on-one, but then again, where do you put The Rock? The Rock has got to make an appearance the next night somehow, some way, most likely. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, you have him there. You might, mm-hmm. And you're paying him a ton of cash, and he's on the board of directors, so you might as well have him around the next day for some reason. So the only reason I would see is probably, again, to create that drama from the depressing end of night one where Cody gets beat. I'm assuming Cody will do the job. You know, oh, he's so sad, so sad. His story will not be told. Then Sunday, boom, his story gets finished the way he wants.
Well, I am going to say this. I have thoroughly enjoyed The Rock and the Cody mix in Seth and Roman into this. I thought that this has been a really good storyline. It's old school, and I commented to many people about this. He, being Cody, learned from his dad. Think about all the times that Dusty got his rear end kicked. I mean, I can remember as a kid when the horseman jumped him in the parking lot and broke his wrist. And you didn't think he was ever going to come back. And when Flair and the Andersons broke his ankle, and you, I mean, we could go on and on and on. The Road Warrior spiked him in the eye, and then you thought, oh, that was the end of him. So Cody's learned how to use that and use it well. And, you know, the incident where he got thrown into the bus multiple times and got beat up in the rain by The Rock. Fantastic stuff.
But it kind of takes it out of it when he's doing interviews 2 days later and doing the press run, and he has not even the bandages anymore. He's got the entire press run, because you saw him all over the place for media on Wednesday doing it. I'm like, isn't he supposed to be hurt? So that's in modern 2024, John. It kind of takes a little bit of the steam out of it.
Yeah, you know what? I totally forgot about that, because
when he's doing ESPN 2 days later and he's in the suit, and then he does NBC's Today, Good Morning America, and all that stuff, the late shows or whatever. Yeah, it kind of ticks the fact that, you know, you got beaten up over a week ago, and then you just got strapped. Him and Seth Rollins just got beaten viciously by The Rock and Roman Reigns. So viciously that he still appeared on his media run on Wednesday. So,
I still think, despite, you do make a valid point that The Rock has to make an appearance on night two, but I'm still sticking to my guns. I'm going to say Seth and Cody win.
It's so funny that we agreed on everything except for the last match. So.
Thanks for checking out the PCC, you know, the Pop Culture Cosmos. We'll be back in one moment. Rob McCallum Films is back with a vengeance. Power of Grayskull, the definitive history of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, which chronicles the ultimate 80s billion-dollar franchise, Masters of the Universe. See exclusive interviews and hear untold stories from the people responsible for creating the world of Eternia, a place full of magic and science, and learn about the craft of creating action figures and animation. Power of Grayskull is just one of our many projects at Rob McCallum Films.
Once again, it is John Orlando from the PVD cast, please go ahead and check out all the great work he did, including doing a WrestleMania preview on his own. Betrayed. I was betrayed by my tag team partner. Oh, I now got to give the babyface promo, but I won't do that right now. But I will promo the PVD cast. So go ahead and check out John's other wrestling friends. Him, she will describe before we end up, head on out mm-hmm. on the PVD cast doing their own WrestleMania preview. But John, night two brings a lot of intrigue. Of course, we'll talk about the main event here in a second, but a Philadelphia street fight, which I think could be entertaining because a lot of these guys have a ton to prove because of where they're at and where they're slotted currently, you know, amongst the card. Bobby Lashley, Montez Ford, Angelo Dawkins versus Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rizar from AOP. Your thoughts, my friend, who gets
I feel bad for Karrion Kross and Scarlett.
Really?
The WWE can't figure out what to do with them at all. I'm not a real big fan of the Final Testament. It shouldn't be this hard when you have a guy that's got all the attributes. He's got a good look. He's okay on the mic. He's not great, but he's okay on the mic. He's passable. And he's got that kind of killer instinct, pun intended, you know, because he was Killer Kross in TNA. But they can't do anything with him. They can't do anything with Scarlett either, which also baffles me. I don't know. This match, it might be good or it might not be good.
I think it's the best possible outcome for a good match because they're putting him in a street fight.
Yes. Okay. I will give you that. Yes. I will agree with you on that.
It allows for more exciting. And then I did want to say before I give you, so who do you have for the winner? And then I want to tell you something before I go to my prediction.
I'll go with the Final Testament because I think that Lashley and Dawkins and Ford are professional enough to put the quote young guys end quote over. So I'll say the New Testament.
All right. I will say this though, my friend, isn't it nice in 2024? We not only still have Barry Horowitz around, but we still have Pauly Dangerously and Paul Ellering still around as mm-hmm. well. So
yeah.
Who'd have thunk that, but I will go, you changed my mind at the last second. I'm going to go with the Final Testament as well. I was thinking, Bobby Lashley's team, but I think I'm going to agree with you that the newer team, the newer alliance is probably something that they might want to go with because they might have bigger plans for them. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Karrion Kross, Akam, and Rezar, AOP, known as the Final Testament. So we'll go from there. Another match I think that should have been a cage match, especially the way they've tried to go ahead and play this out, my friend, is LA Knight. LA Knight, yeah, versus AJ Styles. And as hard as the WWE has tried to kill his character, LA Knight still endures. He is still getting the rousing pops. He is still getting the merchandise sold. And I think he's got to go over, my friend. I really think he's got to win. AJ Styles is AJ Styles. You know, it's great that he's came back. He's got this great new physique that he got. It's great that he's back, but still, he's just still AJ Styles and accredited wrestler that he is, outstanding wrestler that he is. LA Knight's the one that still, despite against all the WWE poor booking in the world on him, he still has managed to go ahead and keep a lot of a shine. And I think just for that, they've got to go ahead and get him the win because you could still point out a main event future. There's still a scenario to me right now. There could be a main event future or close to it for LA Knight.
I hope LA Knight gets the victory, but something in me says that AJ Styles is going to get the victory.
Wow. Okay.
Just because they much like Karrion Kross, the start and stop with LA Knight. I feel bad for him. He's entertaining. I like him. I want him to win. I do, Gerald. But there's this little small little voice in my head that's saying, nah, they don't have faith in him. AJ's going over.
WWE,
I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm dead wrong on that.
I hope you're wrong too, because I really like the LA Knight character, but that's just me. WWE United States Champion Logan Paul defends against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton in a triple threat. I'm going to say this leads to a feud between Orton and Owens, and I'm going to say Paul retains. Your thoughts on who's going to win that three-way for the U.S. title?
I agree with you. We're back on the same track here, I guess. Yeah, I think Logan Paul holds on to it. I think he has not really, and this is going to sound weird, I don't think he's reached his potential as the champion just yet. Mm-hmm. I think he needs a little bit more time to cultivate, you know, what he can do with that title, what he can bring to the matches, especially when they're for the United States title.
Even though his promos are still out of villain 101, mm-hmm. you know, it just, again, they're very rudimentary. They're very cookie cutter. He has a delivery which could, if you just gave him a little bit more coaching or just instruction or a little bit more time out there, he might become a really good heel.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's why he has to win and keep the U.S. title so he can still continue to develop. Let's be honest. He's got all the athletic ability in the world. He's got the timing down. He's got the work rate down, so to speak. He's just got to fine tune a few things, and one of those things would be that character of his.
I agree. So, yeah, absolutely. So there you have it. We're both picking Logan Paul to win. WWE Women's Champion Io Sky defends against Bayley, and this started out with a house of fire, especially around Royal Rumble time, with Bayley winning the Royal Rumble. A lot of momentum, but that momentum has faded a lot. I still think Bayley is going to win because they probably have something set up for as far as somebody to take the title from Bayley down the road. Maybe Jade Cargill may take it down the road from either her or Io Sky down the road, but as I talked to you about beforehand, why my reasoning and rationale behind some of the matches that were going on at WrestleMania, I think Bayley is going to go ahead and win the match on Sunday.
And I agree with you as well. I think my biggest question mark, though, is something that you mentioned. Where does Bayley go from here? Mm-hmm. She can't go back to being the hugger. She probably can't still kind of be the character. Well, obviously she can't be the character that she was in Damage Control, but there's got to be a happy medium, like, for me, taking the character somewhere else. Like, is she just going to, instead of being like, I liken it to in Ring of Honor when Colt Cabana stopped being silly Colt Cabana. He was going to be serious, and he was involved in a feud with Homicide. He was going to take things seriously. So is that what we're going to see with Bayley? Like, she's not the heel. She's not the face that she was 6 or 7 years ago when she first came in the company. Is she going to be somewhere in this middle ground? And if so, what's that going to look like? And who is their next opponent going to be, or opponents?
Agreed. So we'll find out. But I do think that Bayley, still, even with the loss of momentum, I think, again, the Damage Control, unfortunately, they have not been given enough good things to work with to keep fan interests as a whole. And I think there's reasons why. And I elaborated to them with you on that. So I'm hoping those things will get corrected and maybe we'll start off with a Bayley win on Sunday. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, as a big Damage Control supporter, it does not mean no good, or it does hurt my heart to say Damage Control is going to lose twice over the course of WrestleMania weekend. But unfortunately, I got to call it like I see it. And seeing it the way I've been for WWE for many years now, I'm going to say Bayley's going to get the win because, again, Royal Rumble winner. I think they wouldn't have put her on top in the Royal Rumble unless they had a plan going forward. So, yeah, they've got something at least in mind for her. So that leaves us with the story that has yet to be closed. Will it be completed? Will it be finished come Sunday night as Roman Reigns defends against Cody Rhodes? Your thoughts, my friend. I think this one is about as sure to me as I've ever been on a Roman Reigns title defense in the past, 4 years now-ish, whatever. I really think that Cody Rhodes has to be given the title, has to be given a run with it to see if he can lead this company, because of the fact that set it up for that way. If he loses again, you are not only going to piss off a lot of fans, but you're going to get a backlash. Sorry, pardon the WWE PLE pun there, but you're going to get a backlash which you will not like. Your thoughts, my friend, on if Cody Rhodes or Roman Reigns is going to win?
I think it's Cody Rhodes. I think it has to be. There's no other way. Now, I just a few moments ago marveled and gave you my point of view on the whole feud and how wonderful it's been and how interesting it's been and entertaining it's been. But I think at this point, it has to happen.
It's like what you've said before. You booked yourself into a corner.
Yes, exactly. Those were going to be my exact words just a little bit ago that, yeah, I mean, they've messed up and now they got to figure a way out. I mean, if I agree with you, if Cody doesn't win, you're going to see, like, wrestling now is on an all-time high and the WWE is the leader of that. You're going to see people, I would say, stop watching. So there's no question about it. Cody wins. Now, how he wins, that remains to be seen.
It is. And we'll find out exactly if that's the case. But I do think at some point in time, that's why I think Saturday night is so crucial to winning as far as it's concerned, as far as for the Bloodline to win, to set it up as far as from a storyline standpoint. But we forgot to mention one last match, my friend. I forgot about that. It is the WWE Championship online with Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Could Drew McIntyre be one of the reasons why Cody and Seth lose on Saturday, leading into what's going to go on and take place on night two, my friend?
I feel Drew McIntyre wins on night two. I think we're going to get the storyline of Seth is beat up. You know, he got whipped on Monday Night Raw. There's probably going to be a really hard-hitting, you know, bump filled with lots of bumps, tag team match. He's got the bad knee. He's got the bad back. I think that they're just going to put all of that into a story, and I have a feeling that even though he's going to try his very best, Seth is going to fight. I think he ends up getting a claymore for his troubles, and 1-2-3, Drew McIntyre is the new world champion. And we also have CM Punk on commentary too. So that should be an interesting twist as well.
Very much so, my friend. So for the most part, you and I agree on almost every match, which is A, in itself scary, and B, pretty much been outlined and telegraphed by the WWE. They may change it up sometimes. I remember when they used to change up sometimes in recent past because of whatever the betting lines were. I know they probably changed some outcomes simply because of what the betting lines were, just to give the middle finger to whatever betting lines are out there. I think for the most part, they're going to stick to what we have talked about on today's show for both those nights. I'm still thinking NXT Stand and Deliver is going to get that was just wrong. That's doing NXT crew wrong by putting them on Saturday afternoon. I just think that they should have showcased them on its own night, but my friend, before we speak about CM Punk, before we speak about some of the things that are going on in pro wrestling, else outside of WrestleMania, before we head on out, let me know your overall thoughts on WrestleMania coming up.
Well, as I said, I'm excited for WrestleMania. I'm looking forward to both nights. And as you said, we have always been meh on the last couple of years, but I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be a good show. I'm also curious to see what surprises may be in store, because there's always a surprise or two that you didn't see coming. So I'm eagerly anticipating that big surprise of maybe somebody returning, you know, a legend coming back.
Or a Rock babyface turn.
Or a Rock babyface turn, or somebody showing up from another company that we never thought would come. So I think it's going to be an interesting and a really fun WrestleMania this year.
I would love to see MJF walk out there.
Oh, yes. That would be mind blown.
Yes. Sorry, AEW. But yeah, I would just love to see MJF walk. That would be kind of awesome indeed.
You're listening to the Pop Culture Cosmos. Don't touch that dial. Wait, do people still use dials? If you're tired of sifting through flea markets for rare and unique games, we can help. Retro City Games in Henderson, Nevada, only 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip, has all your favorite gaming staples, classics, and a wide selection of rare games with new stuff always appearing on our shelves. Come in and chat with Nicole or Doug about your love of games and watch as they help you complete your collection or find your childhood favorite. And don't forget, Retro City Games loves trade-ins. So if you have any Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, Xbox, PlayStation, or even PC games, come in and visit Retro City Games today. Welcome to the new metropolis of gaming, Retro City Games.
Once again, it's the State of Pro Wrestling. It is John Orlando from the PVD cast, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks again so much for watching and listening. If you've not yet liked and subscribed, please do so today to the Pop Culture Cosmos. PVD cast follows social media, the whole nine yards. You go ahead and get the latest on everything pop culture from both our great shows. But before we head on out, my friend, speaking of CM Punk, he went on the MMA Hour recently with Ariel Helwani, one of the most trusted voices of mixed martial arts. And he talked at length in regards to his time at AEW. In regards to what was going on in AEW, his thoughts on AEW president Tony Khan was not too friendly about that. Also, his situation with Jack Perry, aka Jungle Boy, that again deteriorated into a major behind the scenes brawl at AEW's All Out in London last year. He almost quit on the spot and then was convinced to go ahead and do otherwise, but ultimately he did leave. Your thoughts, my friend, on the comments that were made by CM Punk in regards to how much validity do you take in what he said?
Ooh, I'm gonna go 60-40 on the validity.
Because remember, the story is always, okay, there's your story,
yep,
there's my story, then the old adage of the truth being a lot of times in the middle may be count. Although, again, it's all perception and how you see it.
Yeah, so I'm going to go 60-40. I'm going to say 60% of that is probably factual. 40% of it is...
Because if you heard him, it does paint him in such a great light and AEW.
Right. Right, which that's my thing. We all know that CM Punk is a jerk. I think he's admitted to it. So you wonder, you know, but I also blame this. Like, when the whole thing went down with Jack Perry, I said to some friends, I'm like, look, I went to high school with some meathead football players. I steered clear of them. I would not go up to them uninvited and give them advice. Hey, you know, you should have ran that other play Friday night. We would have won. I wouldn't do that because I know that's going to be bad news for me. So then why would you go up to CM Punk and mouth off and be like, we're going to go ahead and use glass, blah, 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 blah. Just shut up. Don't tell him. Go work your match. If you go through the window and the glass, then you can worry about it later. Like, I can claim
ignorance and say, yes, oh, man.
Exactly. Like, I don't know why did Jack Perry feel the need to be super honest, lie, just, or don't tell him or whatever. I do find the quote that he stated about, and I'll paraphrase, about at AEW was about having 5-star matches, not making money. And I do feel like that is an accurate statement, if there ever was one, about the state of AEW right now.
I'm not going to say I disagree with you on that because, our own Melinda Barkhouse Ross, when she went to their annual big event, Double or Nothing, here in Las Vegas the last year, she showed you a picture on her social media about how well attended or lack thereof that show is. And that's supposed to be one of your biggest shows of the year. And that, you know, it's a situation where storylines are not being done well enough. I mean, they had or certain mistakes along the way, booking mistakes along the way. We talked about Christian and Edge, that feud being probably the best thing that AEW's had in a long time since Punk and MJF. And yet they managed to go ahead and put it off into a secondary mode or put it off on television where these could have been main events for your company in some of your largest pay-per-views. And had you made it, because it was compelling television, but you managed to go ahead and minimize it in a way that was really disappointing overall. And you've blown it off now. Now Christian is just, he's gone from the scene. I'm sure he'll come back and do something, but the mistakes that are made is just all over the place for AEW. And the potential is there for them to be a truly great company. They do have a lot of talent, John. They do have a lot of talent to do a lot of great things. But really, is the emphasis always on that five-star match, which I personally don't have a problem with. But the problem is, after I watch that five-star match, I don't want to watch anything else. I tune in for just those specific matches, and then I tune everything else out on AEW. That to me is a problem, because that to me means that there's a bigger issue in 2024 about how people can access your best of your stuff. They can just go on the internet, find and pick and choose what they want and disregard everything else. With WWE, it seems like everything that they put out there, people want to consume. And there's the lies in the difference between WWE, in my opinion, and AEW.
Mm-hmm. And the constant booking issues, the starting and stopping, the, you know, this match. I don't know about you, but there's been a couple matches where I'm like, I'd like to watch that. Oh, that's on Ring of Honor. Oh, no. I'm not really going to go search that out. Never mind. You know, like, the booking is all over the place. They have Okada as one of the heels in the new Elite. That I think is stupid. I think Okada is a very good babyface, and he could.
He's one of the best wrestlers on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
Will Ospreay is one of the best wrestlers on the planet, but yet you're having him do matches against the Don Callis family each and every week.
Yeah, and like last night's match against Powerhouse Hobbs was
subpar. What did it serve?
Yeah, exactly. And it was subpar.
It minimized Hobbs, who I think is a great talent, and I think has got a lot of great future ahead of him. And it minimized Will Ospreay because of the fact, like you said, it was just it seemed like a regular match. When you're trying to promote Ospreay, Okada and Ospreay should already be at the main event level. They don't need to be part of whatever it is, factions that you have set aside for them. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that those talents are being wasted in the manner of, just like Mercedes Moné, you pay whatever disputed salary that's out there on the internet, what you paid for Mercedes Moné, but you're paying quite a bit for Mercedes Moné. You bring her in here and she's going after the TBS title? Really? Really?
And there's no explanation behind it.
She could literally transform the AE women's division immediately and legitimize it in an immediate instant by taking the top title. Yet you don't have her do that. You have her taking a secondary title, the TBS title. It's absolutely just mistake after mistake. And it's just a shame because the talent, I'm not going to say it's on a par with WWE, but it's certainly not far behind.
Yeah, it's just another example with Mercedes Moné is they've never really fully come out and had her commit to why she's mad at Willow. Yeah. Like, why not just say it? She broke my ankle. I know that's not what happened, but you can spin it from that. That can be the catalyst for you not liking Willow and wanting to get revenge. It's not rocket science. It's very simple. Yeah. It's a real injury. You work it into the storyline. And that's the motivation. It's not that hard, but AEW seems to make the simplest booking decisions into, I don't know, brain surgery.
And sometimes you just got to keep it simple, stupid, as they say.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
Before we head it out, before we get to your cheap plug on what's going on at the PVD cast, Ronda Rousey has also been pitching a book. You know, you've got Becky Lynch pitching a book. I'll tell you what, they should go still one more match against those two, putting their books on the line.
but put their books on top of a pole.
Exactly. There you go. The winner gets to keep their book out in publication. But Ronda Rousey has her time. You know, again, I think it's a situation where it's, how much do you validate what she's been saying in regards to the comments that she's made behind the scenes in regards to WWE, her distaste for Vince McMahon and all that. I think a lot of it is valid. how much is it? Is it like CM Punk where you 60-40, 70-30, 80-20, 90-10, 100-0, whatever you want to say as far as that's concerned. She has said a lot of things, disparaging things. She says she won't go back, which, you know, in the business doesn't mean anything because you always eventually go back if you want to. Your thoughts on Ronda Rousey's comments as of late?
Well, I think you kind of took some of my words out of my mouth, so to speak, because I feel like it's very warranted, her statements about Vince McMahon, as we know.
Of course.
Her more recent accusations with Drew Gulak, I find that to be a weird story. I really don't know. It just sounds very weird.
Was it intentional? Was it unintentional? Right. Yeah.
But how do you be unintentional in that scenario? Like, I don't know. It was weird. I've never been a big fan of Ronda Rousey. I feel like she has been maybe a spoiled brat, so to speak, when it comes to her dealings, especially with this run in the WWE. She's entitled to put out there, I guess, what her opinions are about how things run backstage. She's entitled to do that. But, you know, again, I think it's another one of those cases of, like Punk, you know, with her, I'd say it's more the other way around. I'd say it's more 40-60, if you will. 40%, it's, you know, 60% of it's her and her vision and her recollection. And I'll use that term loosely.
I still think the best thing for her would be to go walk into Tony Khan's office and say, all right, what do you want for one day a week? What do you want? How much are you giving me? And then her or Mercedes, just by name power, lifts that AEW women's division just by itself. I understand we've talked about her wrestling in the ring ability. Put that aside, her name ability is still there and it's still very much viable. But again, you know, we would run AEW differently than Tony Khan would, and we'll just leave it at that. But my friend, it is still great to have you here. I know you and I love covering the world of pro wrestling. Hopefully we will, next time out, be able to commiserate over our picks to see if they fall through or get agreed upon. But we'll also go ahead and, you know, take care of the fallout from WrestleMania as the next period of time for the world of pro wrestling. But before we end it out, it's time for the cheap plug, my friend. What's going on at the PVD cast?
Well, as Gerald was giving me some grief on this episode, I do have my own WrestleMania preview episode that I just
with his own today. WrestleMania buddies.
Well, just one was under the weather, the other one joined me, Ringside Rand. We do the exact kind of same thing that we've kind of done tonight. We've given our opinions and our thoughts and whatnot on the overall show, about some of the matches, about some of the surprises, and even the WWE Hall of Fame. So you could check that out at pvdcast.com or wherever you find great podcasts. Every episode, all you got to do is go to your favorite podcasting app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it. I don't know why, just that's how it works. And you should find it. And please, please rate, review, subscribe, recommend. Word of mouth is great advertising. The PVDcast.com. There you go.
Absolutely. With his real wrestling friends right there at the PVDcast. I'm putting him on a guilt trip. I'm giving him the keys because we're going on a guilt trip right there. But it is the PVDcast. Please go ahead and check out what's going on today at the PVDcast.com. Great show. I actually got the chance to listen to some of it before we were on the air because I found it when I was doing my social media. It's like, oh, what's this pop up? Oh, there it is. He's cheating on me. All right, that's okay. All right, that's fine. My tag team partner. All right, I see how it is. He's already go ahead and found new tag team partners. That's all right. I see how it is.
No.
The angle's coming up. That's okay. All right. I'm going to have an episode of The Barbershop. There you go. The Rock will be no more. But it is John Orlando. Always great to have. Well, I was on a couple of weeks ago, so I shouldn't really complain. But it is John Orlando. It's great to have you here, my friend. But any last thoughts on the eve of WrestleMania before we head on out?
No, just enjoy WrestleMania. Folks, if you're out there celebrating, be safe. I don't know if I say that all the time at the end of my show, but be safe. You know, don't drink and drive. Don't do any of that stuff. You know, be safe out there. Enjoy WrestleMania. Thanks again for having me on, Gerald. I always enjoy coming on and chatting with you.
appreciate it, my friend. And make sure you use the restroom out there before WrestleMania. It's still pretty damn long both nights. So make sure you take care of that indeed. So for John Orlando, it's Gerald Glassford. We'll be back maybe later this month, or at least at the beginning of next month, with the latest state of pro wrestling. But for now, please go ahead and enjoy everything that we do on the PVD Cast, and of course, right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos.